Okay, so at that time, how was the atmosphere like in the dressing room? As you mentioned, we had some very good quality players at the time. I remember you being really into the team, and I think we had Bergugno and Scaramanzino, and
Well, they came after.
yeah,
Not
they came after. But how was the relationship between you guys as players? You know, now as a manager, as a coach, you always say how important it is for the dressing room to be aligned, for the players to be a family, and all of that. How was your time at Omonia and the relationship between you and the other players? Maybe you can tell us some stories we don't know. For example, the final, when we won the final, did you party with people? Who was your roommate at the time? Who was your best friend? How was the relationship with all the players? Obviously from many different countries, we had players. Tell us a little bit more about that.
One second, Roy. If you remember the interview with Timo Wenzel, he said that all the parties were at Bruno Aguiar's house. So I'm kind of expecting someone to be in a swimming pool with all their clothes on.
Well, Bruno.
Bruno.
We had a fantastic player who made the atmosphere. And he was my roommate at this time. It was Freddy.
Freddy,
One of the most funny guys
he's laughing, huh?
I met in football. One of the funniest guy, really. He was unbelievable. Unbelievable. He was so funny. Really so funny. And by the way, he was a good player because I think at this time he was the top scorer, I think.
Yeah, top goal scorer. Yeah.
Yes, I remember that time.
Yeah, he scored some nice goals, even in Europa League.
Fofi, did you ever play with Freddy together? Because I think when he first came, he came for Doxa, and then he went to
Yes, unfortunately, we never played together. But the year that I was in Doxa, my first year in Doxa, yes, I it was in Omonia at that time. Okay, it was going
So you
at
never
the
had
end
the
of his career,
opportunity.
but yeah, but he was a fantastic striker. He was a great player. He was a great player at that
Yeah,
time.
and fantastic guy. Very, very good guy. Very, very funny. It's a top player for a team. He's a team player, you know. He has good mentality. He's a fighter, and he's really great guy. He's so funny. So funny. It's good to have this kind of guy in one group.
Okay, that's great.
Sure.
So maybe we can have the opportunity to have Freddie on the show, and then maybe you can jump on as well, and see.
Well, the thing is that when I hear stories from former footballers in England, then their stories are usually like, oh, when we went to pre-season, we ended up in this restaurant and then we got drunk and then someone fell out the window or someone fell in the swimming pool, But I can't imagine that happening in Cyprus because a lot of the non-Cypriot players, they're not like the British players. They're more. Yeah, do you know what I mean? So when you tell me that Freddie's funny, I'm thinking, I can't imagine Freddie getting a fire extinguisher in a hotel and spraying people like Stan Collymore did.
Well, the thing is, Cyprus is a small place, so it's quite difficult. And in my time in Omonia used to take all the best Cypriot players. So I remember that I was playing, for example, with Stathis Aroneftis, with Kotsomakridis, with Avram, with Dimitri Christofi. Sorry?
Ilias Haralambos,
Yes, he left. When I signed, he left. Him and Okas. Him, Okas, and another one, but I don't remember.
The striker,
The striker, yes, Constantino.
Constantino, Haris Constantino.
Haris Constantino. When I signed, they left this player. So it was at this time, Omonia was, let's say, the team of the people, of the Cypriot. All the best Cypriot players, they were playing for Omonia at this time. So it was a little bit difficult, to have this kind of stories, as I told you. It was Yorgos Efrem as well. I forgot him, but
We're trying to forget him as well. We're trying to forget him as well, Sofyan.
Well, he was not the only one.
I'm joking. Come on, come on, Royce.
Yeah, no, but I'm going to put my microphone on mute, man, on this. But never mind.
Let me tell you something, right? When you look at the players that we had in that squad, right? Leandro was fantastic. That left foot of his was absolutely magic. Yeah. Noah Kaseke in the middle of the park, absolute unit. You know, it's very difficult to get past him. But when you talk about technical ability, which player do you think could have gone on to do bigger things, but maybe because they were in Cyprus, there weren't many people watching them, they didn't get the opportunity to go on and do bigger things?
Leo,
yeah?
Bro, this guy was a magician. He was unbelievable, this guy. When I met him the first time, when I saw him at training, because, you know, you see him every weekend, during the game. And when one player is playing, he has to follow a plan. He has to follow a tactic. He has to be disciplined. He has to be professional. He doesn't show you completely all his skills. But bro, me, I used to see his skills every day at training. He was unbelievable, this player. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I met him, I told him, what are you doing here? He was unbelievable. This player was unbelievable. Yeah, it was
fantastic.
Yeah, he was fantastic, really. And he was very humble. He was a worker. And, he can feel and understand football, you know. He was playing, on the right way. If he had to dribble, he will dribble. If he had to pass, he will pass. If he had to shoot, he will shoot. He was really a great player.
He could play in more than one position as well, which is very important. Very important.
Yeah, absolutely. He was as well. I remember I played with so many good players at this time in Omonia. He was Kaseke, Noel Kaseke. He was very good as well. Good mentality. Very, very good mentality.
Hello, Noel.
Noel, very good player. I used to like him a lot. I had very good relation with him. Alex Da Silva, he didn't play a lot. Unfortunately, he didn't
achieve much in Omonia, but he's like
he was so many players at this time. He was Christofi, he was Makridis, he was Tassis and Oneftis. I mean, he was so many players, and he didn't play a lot, so he left, I think, for AEK. But he was very, very good player, and he is one of the players that I say, what are you doing here as well? Was very, very good.
Yeah, he was a good player.
Yeah.
Technically, with the ball, his vision.
Yeah.
Well, was good.
His shoot, free kick, passes. Free kicks,
yeah.
And good guy as well.
There's something I didn't even ask you, Fofi, and I'm going to put this question to both of you guys, because obviously you played for the club. When you talk about pressure, and you talk about what the media are like in Cyprus, where you talk about what the fans are like. Sofyan, you joined the club a year after we won the title. Fofi, you just joined the club when there was a big transition, managers coming and going. When you talk about, as I said before, the pressure, what's expected of you, did you guys feel that at the club? And did it come mostly from the fans or from the people upstairs in the boardroom or maybe even the media? Which one was the worst?
Well, I'll answer first if you let me. Look, the media, no. I'm going to tell you the only reason why. It's just that I'm French. I used to not speak even English at this time. And Greek, forget about Greek. So media, I didn't know because I didn't read any newspaper or internet, nothing, you know. I didn't know about the media. But you can feel the pressure of the board and the fans. Definitely. Definitely. I remember very well this day, the next day when we lost in Austria against Salzburg, the next day, the training session, how it was with the board and everything. It was completely terrible. It was like the end of the world when we lost this game. It was terrible. So not, I understood, I remember that at this time, I understood that it was something special with this club, that they had very big ambition. And then with the fans, I remember the my first derby with Apoel, because me, from the first day when I signed, I heard Apoel, Amoto Apoel. I didn't know about that. And then I remember that the first derby, we lost it. The next day, the fans, they came to the training camp. It was, yes. And then I felt that it was something else. You understand better what is really Omonia.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. This is like Sofiane said, is the pressure. This is the only pressure you can feel, because from the media, okay, is you don't listen many things, you know, except in the TV, or maybe are showing highlight of games, or except this. But even when you are on the game, you can feel the fans, you can feel them, you can feel the pressure. It can be is a For me, I think it's a good pressure, you know.
Absolutely,
it's a good pressure. It's a good pressure to you want to show them that they are not here for nothing. You want to show them that they are here. You're gonna give them everything you have, you know.
The thing is, not everybody can handle it. Not everybody can handle can manage this pressure. This pressure can be positive for you, for. And for me, for example, me, I need it. Yeah. I need this pressure from the fans. I need to play in one full stadium to have this pressure. If I don't have it, I cannot perform 100%. I need it. But some other players, and I played with many players like that, they don't perform with this kind of pressure. This kind of pressure is negative for them. For that's me, it was awesome. Very positive. I needed this this pressure. You as well, as you're telling me, but some other players with who have played, for example, they couldn't.
Yeah, they couldn't. It's true, because they are totally lost in the game with the fans. Yeah. You know?
They are scared. But they were hiding without on the board. They don't want to play.
I cannot imagine when you play one game at Gassipi and you see 20,000 people, 15,000 people, you know, you say that, yes, I'm here to do something. Yeah. I'm here to show myself, you know, to please the fans, you know, to play good, to win the game. And the next day, you know, you know that everybody will be talking about the game, you know. And so for me, playing without fans is difficult.
I'm really happy that I'm not playing anymore. Now to play without fans, oh my God. Difficult. I feel so lucky that I played with fans at this time. Now it's terrible. Now it's terrible to play.
Okay, so you mentioned that the players that wouldn't be able to cope with the pressure of these big occasions. Now, let's say, you know, we take the fans out of the stadium. These players will be able to produce, won't they? Because they don't have 20,000 people shouting at them.
Yeah.
If they make a mistake, they don't have people shouting at them and calling them this, calling them names and calling them that.
Probably, yeah. At this time now, today, they will be better. Mm. They will be better players.
Yeah. The thing is, you would think that the same would apply to referees, but they're still making big mistakes, aren't they, in Cyprus?
This is another story.
is that a segue for you, Roy, to talk about referees?
Okay, actually, you know, I was going to ask Sofiane about the level of refereeing, because obviously it was at a time at Omonia where, okay, we started struggling financially. It was the beginning of, you know, Omonia struggling a bit financially, and that gave birth to some other problems. But, you know, it seemed to me that at the time, okay, someone might say something different. This is my personal opinion. Omonia is the team out of the top four or five teams of the league that, you know, usually face problems with referees. And it's not so much that the level of the refereeing is bad. It's they give the impression that sometimes the mistakes that they make are not human. It's as if they're there on a mission. And someone can't take this out of my mind. Obviously, I know I might bring you into a difficult position to answer this question, Sofiane and Fofi, but at your time at Omonia, did you feel this thing? Did you have that vibe that, you know, no matter how you were trying, that someone else was going to decide? Obviously, Fofi answered this question about a European game against Dinamo, which was, you know, scandalous and a disgrace, and it marked us as Omonia fans for the rest of the years to come. But you, Sofiane, how did you have that vibe? Did you feel that thing? Did you feel, you know, we did what we could have done, but, you know, at the end of the day, someone else decided the result. Did you feel that thing?
I can understand. I can understand this feeling, but I don't want to put it in my mind. I hope you will understand. I believe in football.
Yeah.
I really believe in football. And I want to keep believing in football. And I would like that the young Cypriot football player, I want them to believe in football. You know, since I came here, how many times I heard, oh, it's a fixed game. Oh, yeah, the referee, yeah, he made this bullshit. Oh, it's a mistake, all of this. I don't know about that. Maybe it happened. Yeah. Maybe there are some problems. Probably. But I want to keep believing in football.
So you want to be romantic, not naive, but, you know, you want to...
I won't say naive because now I'm telling you that because now I finished my football career. Now I'm coach. I see the thing one more time. I see the things differently. And firstly, my plan was to be with the young players, with the young Cypriot football players. And I want them to believe in football. It's very, very important for me to believe in football. But when I was player, I used to hate losing.
Yeah.
And it happened that sometimes you lose and you feel that the things are unfair. Let's say, so I was very angry and maybe I could have said so many things, but that's the thing. I don't want in the future, for the future young football players to keep telling these things. I want them to believe in football. I want them to believe that when they work, they will win something. In the long term, maybe not today, probably tomorrow or next day, but it will pay off for sure.
Yeah, Sofiane, see, this is the thing, Sofiane, you're thinking about it from a logical and a patient perspective.
That's how I learn football. That's why.
Precisely.
But there is another thing. If I can finish.
Sure.
The thing, bro. So many times I heard these excuses as well. You understand what I mean? We lost it because of the referee. We lost because of it. No, it's not only this. I mean, firstly, you have to make your own analysis, you know? Have you made everything? Are you fighting us? You understand what I mean? And sometimes it was too easy to say, referee. No, man. No. Don't make the thing so easy. One more time. Firstly, I want to believe in football. And I believe in football badly. I believe in football. I believe that if you work well, sooner or later, it will pay off. That's the first thing. And the second thing, I don't want these guys to take referee as an excuse all the time. Every weekend, I heard about this referee. Every weekend, okay, they might be not so good, maybe in Cyprus, we might have some problems, but not every weekend, man.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Of course, players have to take responsibility and be held accountable for their
performance. After one more time, I'm not naive.
Mm.
Things happen. I know that. I know. I'm not so naive. I'm not stupid. I know that some things happen. Maybe they are still happening. I don't know about that.
And so maybe I have to apologize for using the word naive. Is what maybe it was. I wanted to use the word romantic. You know, in this.
You're right. And I'm gonna be honest with you. My first time in Cyprus or in Greece, because we had this problem as well in Greece, I was very naive. I didn't expect that these things could happen.
Yeah.
Not only with referees, we have to know that even players are involved. And players are involved in these kind of things.
Yes.
And for me, this is a poison for football. This is the cancer of football.
Yeah. Well, I think the last time you possibly experienced something like that was maybe when Bernard Tapie and Marseille in the early 90s, but you were still young. You wouldn't have remembered anything like that. You know?
No, I remember. I remember.
Yeah.
I remember because then Marseille, because Marseille was my team when I was young.
The European Cup. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I remember that after 1 or 2 years after, they went to second division because of this kind of shit.
Yeah, that's right. But the thing is, going back to what you said about the long-term thinking, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but for me, from an outsider from the UK looking at Cypriot football, it's almost as if it's very rare for someone to be given time to install their own philosophy. I mean, if you look at, let's say, for example, the Cypriot national team. This week, Valem, he's gone. His contract was up in November. I think they've let him go now. And I'm thinking, well, we saw him bring in a lot of young players into the national team. A lot of Omonia players, especially, you know, Johnny's, Loizu, a lot of young players, and even from other teams, Big Tie, etc., etc. But it's almost as if, because he had a few bad results in the Nations League, which is it's a friendly tournament, you don't win anything from it, but because he had some bad results, he's gone. But for me, this is a guy that coached the Belgian under-21s with Batshuayi, with Benteke, with Boyata, players who have played elite level, that's still at elite level. So why aren't they giving him time to put in his philosophy? And this is what I'm saying about yourself, who you've got ideas, you have plans. And maybe, I mean, I don't know the club, that, you know, the hierarchy of where you're at the moment, but I hope that they will give you the opportunity and the time to bring in your staff.
You're right. I mean, when I was talking, this is the other side of the football. It's when you are a coach. Unfortunately, when you are a coach, you don't have time. This is true. But when you are a player, the season is long. I mean, you might not be in the plan of the coach the first games.
Yeah.
How will you react? What will you do?
Well, it depends on the player. It depends on the player. Because if you look at, say, for example, Gareth Bale, who's gone to Tottenham, he's happy to sit on the bench for £300,000 a week, he doesn't care. But if you look like Boateng, who's getting angry that he's not playing, I want that player. I want the player that's angry that he's not playing.
That's the first thing. That's the first point, which is very important. How do you accept it? How will you receive it that you're not playing? Are you angry or you don't care? Like you said, Gareth Bale, okay, he doesn't care. Boateng, he cares. He's angry. Now, what is your reaction? That is important, because as a coach, you don't have time. As a player, you have time. Yeah. What is the reaction?
Do you work hard? Yeah. Do you work hard? Do you show the manager that you do? Yeah.
Absolutely.
You deserve to play. Yeah.
Yeah. You have the weak player. He will say, I deserve to play. I'm not playing. Fuck that. It's because of the coach. And slowly, he finds his excuse about the coach. And slowly, he will not train anymore. And he will... maybe he will leave. I saw so many players like that.
Yeah.
And the strong player that is very strong mentally, very passionate. Well, I will show him. Well, this coach, he's very angry. He doesn't accept that he's in the bench. He's very angry, but he take all this energy positive. Next day, training session, I'm going to fight.
100%.
I'm going to show him this motherfucker that I deserve to play. Mm. You understand what I mean? That's the way. And it's difficult because maybe the team is doing well. So you have to be patient and you have to keep doing that every game, every week, every month. Maybe it's going to take months. Maybe it's going to take years. Maybe. Exactly. Maybe you have to be very patient.
But then you have other factors which, as a coach, you don't have that problem with when you're a player. So, for example, let's say you have a player who isn't playing, but he's very vocal. He has a lot of friends in the squad. Maybe they say, oh, well, my friend isn't playing, so I'm not going to play well because we want to get this manager sacked. Because it happens, doesn't it?
Well, I believe that every player wants to win.
Of course. But
so if you want to win, you need the best players with you, more than your friend. You understand what I mean? Now we are not, we are not playing in amateur, that you want to play with your friend and that you want to enjoy football. We play for win. We play for win. It's professional. We really play for win. You know, a victory, 3 points, finally at the end, are the most important. Are the most important.
Yeah, but you're talking for, as a footballer that loves the game and wants to win. There are footballers out there. I'll mention maybe a couple. Let's say the Chelsea team when Mourinho was manager the first time round, how he fell out with one or two players. And unfortunately, those two players had the bigger voices. And then a lot of the players were saying, okay, well, he's our teammate. We're going to stick with him. And we're not going to play for the manager. He's gone. Then another manager comes in. And then he does the same. He's gone.
They didn't have the result. No. At the end of the day, the results are the most important.
Of course, but is it because of the manager, because of the players? Because it's the players that's on the pitch. It isn't the manager.
Kind of balance, let's say.
So I mean, this is a debate that can go on for a long time, something like that. But you know, as I was saying, because you've seen it in the dressing room, and now you're seeing it on the training pitch. So as a player, and like quite rightly you said, it's a different angle you're looking at it now. You're approaching it from a different way. It's not I go in, I train, I see my friends and I go home. Now it's I'm in 2 hours before the players. I'm looking at the video. I'm looking at the strength and conditioning. I'm speaking to the physios. I'm talking to the video analysts. I'm talking to you. So you might be in 2 hours early, but you haven't actually done any training on the pitch or any coaching on the pitch. It's 2 hours of admin.
Yeah.
And then it's the training.
And it's necessary. You have to do it. You have to do it. And the thing is, if you forget something, a small detail, maybe you will lose because of that. Or you will lose the player. Maybe you didn't take any news about one player that he's injured. Even if he's not playing now. Maybe this player is not really playing now. He's injured. He's not very important. All the players are important. But let's say that one player is not playing at this moment. You don't take care of him. Yeah, you don't take some news. You are not talking with him.
Yeah, close to him.
Yeah, close. Bro, season is long. You will have yellow card, red card, injuries, and now COVID. Maybe he's positive. And maybe you will lose him for 15 days, this player. Now, you're going to start to talk with this player that you forgot. You forgot him all these weeks or this month.
Yeah.
You lost him.
I think this is the... I don't know if I have to say that it's a mistake, but many coaches forget about this. I think it's very important, the player that you are not using in the first 11, to have a good communication, because for sure after... we never know. Maybe the...
Absolutely.
One player in the first 11 got injured, so you will... You will need him. And when you are not close to him, how psychologically how are you going to respond to the in the field? You will not have the best of him, I think.
Absolutely. I agree. You lose him. All the players, you have to know that we are more than 20 players. Only 11 play.
Yeah.
If you have good results, you don't change your team. You know how it is. You don't change one team that is winning. You
winning
know?
Team.
Yeah. So how are you going to work with the others? You need to communicate with them. You need to talk with them. You need to care about them, maybe more than the others, you know? Because maybe these players, you're going to put them next week, in 1 month, and they have to be competitive. They have to be ready. They have to be focused. And
the closer it gets towards the end of the league, the pressure is a lot more on these players because they know that they might have 15 minutes, one game, half an hour, and they feel like they have to prove themselves on that time. So they have to be physically and mentally prepared.
Prepare, yeah.
Absolutely.
To get their opportunity, you know? So it's very important.
Sometimes it can be not fair.
Yeah.
Because you will say to one player that he's not playing for many months, oh, okay, now you have the opportunity to play. Now show me.
Yeah.
Now show me what you can do. But during this month, you as a coach, have you done the job to keep him focused, to keep him concentrated,
yeah,
to keep him in alarm, let's say? You understand what I mean? It's both, you know. The player, of course, he has to be focused, he has to wait, he has to be patient, he has to work. But the coach as well, he has a lot of things to do with this player that are not playing on this time.
And it's difficult when you have one competitive team with a lot of good players. That's the turn of the I think of the management of the team. You know, you have to. Maybe the player that is in the bench is maybe better than who is playing, but is the coach choice. So when you choose to use one player, the one that is in the bench, I think is good to make him feel better mentally than the one that is playing. Because when you are playing every week, you don't care about what is happening outside. You just want to be in the field. But who is outside? He want to be inside and he don't get the opportunity. And since he's not getting the opportunity day by day, if you don't have any communication, if you don't feel that people are next to him, you're going to lose him for sure.
Yeah. And this player that you're going to lose him, you will need him in 2 months, 3 months. You never know. And you know how our football players, you know, most of them, they have big ego. So it's very difficult. Sometimes, you have 20 players. These 20 players, they think they are the best and they think they deserve to play. So it's not easy, finally.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I guess you always hear...
So I hope your players are listening to you, Sofyan. The players at Omonia Aradipu are listening to you now.
Well, the thing is, you often hear stories about players talking about their managers and saying, oh, we'd die for this manager. We'd run through a wall for this manager. And there's one story I'll never forget. It was Roy Keane talking about Alex Ferguson. And it was before one game. They've gone into the dressing room before the game and Ferguson had the team sheets of the opponents on the wall. And he just grabbed it and he ripped it. He goes, it doesn't matter who we're playing. We're going to beat them. So I think it's what the man management does, and it's the confidence that a manager can bring to his players. And again, this goes on to my next question for both of you guys, actually. Was there one particular manager who you said, right, we're playing for him, no one else. This is the guy. This is the man that's going to take us forward. We're going to go through a wall for him.
Even if you weren't the first choice, you know?
Yeah.
For me, I think... is the one that will make me focus on the target of the team. The one that will tell me that maybe today you are not available for me today now, but tomorrow I will need you. It will make me feel that this team, I have future in this team. For this coach, for me, I will die for him.
Has he got a name? Did you have in your career someone who made you feel this way?
Yes.
Who is that?
It was Ricardo Pereira. He was in Portugal. Was playing in Santa Clara at that time, and he was young coach, Vitor Pereira. Sorry, okay. One young coach coming from Porto Academy, second division, his first time. He have good philosophy of football. You know football. He communicate with all the player. He bring all the player in the same road. You know, with the same target. And this coach he have one ambition that is contagious. You know, he want to succeed in his life. He want to be a big coach in the future. So the way he was thinking, the way he was communicating with the player, so he make you follow him, you know. He make him to follow his vision, to follow his dream, you know. And after 5 years, he was coaching Porto, winning the title with Porto. And then he was in the final of the Europa.
Did he go to Olympiacos?
Yes, that Olympiacos, yes. Yes, Vitor Pereira, that coach. He was my coach in Portugal, in Santa Clara.
Excellent.
So, I mean, I think we've kept you a bit longer than what we expected, but there's so many questions we'd like to ask. And again, we'd like to take the opportunity to thank you. But
Roy, I'll leave them with you, mate. Go on. I've said my piece.
Okay, basically, yeah. I mean, we had the opportunity as a show. Obviously, I came on the show a little bit later than Stell. But still had the opportunity to speak to Wenzel, Derbyshire, Hoffman. There was obviously Skembri, Kaseke, Fofana. The common denominator between all these players, no matter the time they played at Omonia, or no matter from, you know, where they came from, what the status for their CV was, the common denominator is that everyone said that Omonia was either their family, the place they felt like home. Like Fofi, I mean, he played for 1 year, and that year, you know, both on a personal level and on a football level, you know, he suffered a tragedy, you know, on his personal life, but like on the pitch as well. He said his worst game was playing against Dinamo, but he said Omonia was something special. Wenzel played for the Bundesliga. He said, I wanted to end my career at Omonia. Kaseke said the same. Derbyshire played for the national team of the under 21s in England. He played Premiership, he played Champions League. He said, Omonia was my family. And even you, Sofiane, I mean, you played, you had your ups and downs, because I didn't have the time to ask you about, you know, your second year at Omonia when, you know, there were a few problems there before you signed your new contract. You went to Greece, you came back. I don't want to go there now, but what makes Omonia so special for someone who comes from like miles away? And even years later, I mean, Sofiane, I follow you on Facebook and on Instagram. And after the game we beat Apoel, you were the first one to post the you know, you and I remember I made a screenshot and I put it on my Instagram. And I was like, this guy, man, you know, now he's a coach, but he doesn't seem to care so much. You show your love to the love you have for Omonia. What made Omonia so special for you? And like everyone, what do you think it was? Because you weren't at the best time at Omonia. It wasn't as if, you know, you were winning trophies and, you know, financially everything was okay. We were struggling at times. You know, we had other issues. Your relationship with the board wasn't very good at times or whatever. Not just you, I'm talking generally. It's amazing how all these people, like foreign, especially when it comes for a foreigner, because for me, I support Omonia since I was a kid. So Omonia is always going to be my team. But for someone who's a professional to be so vocal and express himself in such a way that it might even, you know, hurt their career, because by just saying that, you know, I love that team so much, or it was my best time, or I'm going to be linked to that team, you know, for the rest of my life. It was so special, you know, for someone, you know, it might be a little bit, you know, a reason to, you know, you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But bro, it's very simple. It's very simple. The fans, the love of the fans. I played for so many teams. I played for some very good teams. I never received love than the one that I received in Omonia. It was completely crazy. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not a big place, Cyprus. So you can see immediately the fans and the love of the fans. Yeah. And I left Omonia years ago. and I still follow this team. I still love this team. Yeah. I became a fan. They make me become a fan of this team, finally. Yeah. And this is a special moment in my career. I played for so many teams in so many countries, but this time in Omonia, this year's in Omonia, are special for me, really special. That's why I'm still here, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true.
The fans, you are fans of you, Roy. You are fans of Omonia.
Yeah.
When you go, for example, to the stadium.
Yeah.
What you want us to feel?
Yeah,
to feel that Omonia is our place. Is what we feel, you know. You feel this since when you put your football shoe in the grass.
Yeah.
You know, you can feel this in the field, outside of the field. It's something special. You cannot describe it, you know. You have to live with it.
You know? But that's the thing, you know, it's because when we say it, you know, it sounds like we say it from a different perspective, from a fan perspective. But when players, and especially professional players, who, like Sofiane said, I didn't even know where Cyprus was. I didn't even know Omonia. And you know, a few years later, he's like talking about, you know, the love that he got from this team, and you, and Wenzel, and Derbyshire, and Noel Kaseke, and, you know, they say about this, and, you know, it makes us more sure about, you know, the love we have about this club. You know, okay, obviously someone else can say the same thing about another team, but it's always special, you know, when you played in so many teams in your career, and you say, out of all the teams I've played in my career, this team, the love, the fans, the love I got from the fans is just so amazing. And it's genuine, you know. It's not because we're talking to you now. I followed you on social media for so many years. So it's not as if you're lying now on our show. It's, you know, it's the truth, you know. So, yeah.
And the thing is, this is true. The fans make it special. Anyway, in football in general, fans make this game so special. Yeah. Make one team or one club so special. And this is what happened for Omonia. When I came in Cyprus, from the first day, I received something special from them. I received love from them. Me, I'm telling you, it's real. It's real with Omonia.
It is. Yeah, I'm sure.
The thing is, what I find fascinating about, you know, this whole situation is that I hear more positive stuff from the non-Cypriot ex-pros than I do from the Cypriot ex-pros, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, well, you know, is it because the non-Cypriots feel more valued than the Cypriots? Or maybe it's because the Cypriots are like, well, they should love us because we are Omonia players. That's not how it works. You know, it's very difficult. It takes a long time for a player to earn the love from a fan, doesn't it? It's not as if they come in and straight away, bang, we love that player. You need to work hard. You need to show the fans that you care about the club. And I think that's a testament to you guys, both of you, for having the adulation of the supporters, because we knew how much the club meant to you.
Yeah. You know how many players against who I played? And they were Omonia fan players, football players. and then I played with them. I played with some guys. I won't tell the names, but I played with some guys after, for example, when I came back for Alki. And they told me, hey, I was Omonia fan. I was one of your fan. And he told me, and I was in the gate 9 every game. And they were playing
That's
with me.
True.
And they were playing with me after.
That's true. I have the same. Some players, they told me, you are my fan, my favorite player. I was following you every time, the TV, every game I was there, shouting your name. And today we are the same field playing together. I cannot believe. No.
That's beautiful.
It's crazy. It's beautiful, you know. And I remember one story, personal, when I, in 2013, if I remember, I was in Doxa at that time, my first year in Cyprus. And Omonia have a difficult situation that time with the, and they called for the funds for help. I think that time to help Omonia finance to, yeah, to face the financial situation. And
the criteria, the financial criteria of criteria. UEFA.
But, they even came you know, to London. They even came to London.
And you know what the funds they did for Romania? They put money for the team. And this was crazy that time when I listened. You know, and for me,
Skembri said that, you know, he used to go to the pensioners would give their money, you know, people, sick people would give their money. I mean, people, unemployed people would give their money. It's unbelievable the love that the fans show. It's something special. You know, at least to me, I'm biased because Omonia is always going to be special, you know. But like Stel and I said, you know, listening to these stories from professional players who played at, you know, top level in better teams and got more money to say these things make it all the more important, you know. So
it's crazy when, and that time me I was not in Omonia, I was in Doxa, but when I listen about this story, I say, but it's crazy,
this is a true story, Prof. You know, because me in 2013 and 14 I was in Omonia.
I remember, and I was in one game that you play a friendly game against Olympiacos in Gassipi.
Okay, and we had, I think the financial problems start at this time, and it was a very bad moment. And bro, fans, they were giving money. You know, some of them, they don't even have a lot of money, you know, but the few that they have, they were giving to this team. So they were paying you. It's not the team that is paying you, it's the fans.
Fans.
Well, you won't see that in many places. You won't see that in many teams.
No chance.
Fans are paying you from their pocket, not from marketing, not from TV right, not from sponsor or whatever. The fans, they were coming and giving 20 euro, 50 euro, some of them a big check. They were coming with a big check. How do you want me to be... to don't feel something for this team, to don't feel something for these fans. That's absolutely crazy, man.
It's crazy, it's crazy. It's something you cannot describe. You talk about it and you start to feel the love is coming back again. You know, you start to feel that, you start to feel the time back. Like, I want to be there this time. To leave this situation again and come sit again to talk about it. You know,
we should do a reunion. Get some old, get your former players and get them on a Zoom call and have a reunion. A lockdown reunion. A lockdown no trust podcast, isn't it? Roy, any more questions?
Lockdown reunion. Yeah, actually, you know, if you want, let's, because we've held them for so long, maybe let's, do you want to go to the... to the part where you ask the questions from the fans. I've got some questions from the fans and the followers as well to ask Sofiane. And
far away, you know, mate. Far away.
You want to take it away and then I'll continue. Do you want to do it? Okay, so Sofiane. Favorite team you follow?
Tell me again because I can't hear you very well. The Wi-Fi is not working, I believe.
Okay, so which is your favorite team? Your favorite team, you know, in Europe or worldwide, which is your favorite team?
Well, I don't really have, of course, except Omonia that I played for and I said that I became a fan. I'm not really. I like football. I like to see a nice game. When I was younger, I used to be a Man United fan. When I was young. Okay, Marseille when I was a kid. And then I was the Manchester United fan.
Okay, so as a defender in Cyprus.
Sergio Ramos.
No. Okay.
Everyone was Sergio Ramos.
It's not difficult. Yeah. He's the best central defender ever. And there ever. Is no... Yeah, by far. Ever. Bro, by far.
Okay.
And not a little bit, by far.
Well, over Baresi and Maldini and...
These guys, they made a big career. And I love them and I appreciate them. Nesta, Maldini... or Baresi, like you said, but bro, they didn't make the football career of Sergio Ramos.
Mm, okay.
Check the titles.
Okay. You're going by titles, my friend.
Now, bro, you know, at the end of the day, for big players, they speak about titles. Firstly, because you cannot win so many titles and being a normal player or medium player. When you have four or five Champions League, World Cup, Euro, and how many titles in Spain? Firstly, you can start to speak, and then look how many goals he scored and how many important goals he scored. It's absolutely crazy. And you know, as an ex-central defender, I'm watching as well how he's playing, how he's the leader of the team, how he managed his defense. Oh, it's absolutely crazy. Really, mm-hmm. He's a top player. Really, really top.
Yeah, and he was. He still is. He's got that fight about him, hasn't he? He's very physical. You don't really get that too much these days.
He's complete. Yeah. Usually, one central defender. Okay, he has. I don't know. He's good with the head, but he's not so good with the ball. Maybe he has everything. Yeah. Tell me something that he doesn't have.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
He doesn't play for Barcelona.
Roy is a Barcelona fan, then.
I don't think anyone wants to play for Barcelona. Yeah, yeah, Messi doesn't want to play for Barcelona anymore, does he?
Yeah, okay. So, Sofyan, who in Cyprus, when you played again in Cyprus, who was the toughest opponent you have to defend? Like, which was a striker that gave you the most difficult time or you enjoyed playing against with because it was competitive?
Oh, to be honest, at this time, we had a huge competition with Apoel, obviously, and Apoel had a very good team when I was playing for Omonia. So it was the derby, they were huge, really huge. And they had a good team. I remember, like, I played against Ailton or against Manduka. Bro, to be fair and to be honest, they were good players, very good players. So at this time, it was the derbies were amazing, really, and very competitive.
The level. Okay, was so fair. Which one would you? The best moment in Omonia and the worst moment in Omonia. Your best moment, your time at Omonia and the
worst moment. Okay, so I would say the best moment is probably when we won against Salzburg 2-1 in Gassipi.
Okay,
I think it was probably the best game. It was one of my first game, I think. And then maybe the worst moment, the bad moment is the second game when we lost there, probably. When we lost in Salzburg, 1-0.
1-0,
so we won at home 2-1 and then we lost 1-0 there. We were so happy and excited. And then 1 week after, I think, it was... we were so disappointed. So maybe this is the worst moment.
I think what makes it even more of a painful moment, Sofyan, is that with you and Fofi, you both came very close to qualifying for that Europa League stage. And can you imagine the fortunes of the club, how different it would be if we'd have got into those stages?
Absolutely. Completely different. For one goal.
Yeah.
we lost in Austria 1-0. So for one goal, you don't qualify. It was really painful.
Yeah, it's painful.
Yeah,
it's painful. Imagine, imagine against Dinamo last minute.
Yeah, we a foul on the goalkeeper as well. But you know, Roy, any more?
Just a couple of more. What do you think of the defense of Omonia this year, and what do you think of Luftner, Lang, and Hubochan? If you had the opportunity to see them, obviously they've been in the team since last year, so probably as a you had the opportunity to see Luftner, Lang, and Hubochan. Hello.
Yeah, now I can hear you. Yeah, the connection is not so good.
I
believe it's they are working very well with Berg. They have a block very compact. So defensively, I believe that not because it's Omonia, but I believe in the league, it's by far the best team. I believe it's the best team as a team. As a team, maybe in some other team they have some quality players, but as a group, as a team, it's probably the best team. They are very compact. They have some good players, but as a team, they are very compact. They work all together. They defend all together, and that's I believe at the end of the season it will make the difference.
Sofiane, I think it's very interesting that you say that, because they say defenses win titles. And I agree with you. I think Omonia have the best defense in the league. And when you look at Abollon, who sold Salai, undoubtedly their most important defender. And today, they got an equaliser in injury time against Gamiodissa. But I think when you lose a player like that, you know, it's going to hurt you in the long term. And I think now, slowly, when Abollon are going to get injuries and fatigue and suspensions, they're really going to miss this player. And while they're good going forward with Dingini, and, you know, I can't fault them because they've been fantastic this season, Abollon. When it comes to defensive problems, they're going to get them.
I agree with you. And that's the difference between Apollon and Omonia. I believe at the end of the season, it will make the difference. Because when Apollon is missing one player, especially behind, like, for example, Roberge, that didn't play some games, it's completely different. In Omonia, sometimes one player is missing, you don't really feel the difference. Why? Because you still have this compact block that make the difference. They are all working together. You understand what I mean? So you don't feel it like with Apollon. Apollon depends a lot on some players. And I hope this, for example, Digini, which is, by the way, one of my best friends.
Yeah, you play together in Greece.
Yeah, we play together. He's a fantastic player. And I recommend it to, by the pass, to Omonia, but finally he signed for Apollon anyway. Mm-hmm. And he's a great player. If they miss some player, important player, like Digini, like Roberge behind, for example, it will be terrible for them. Mm-hmm. Omonia, no. You're going to feel it, of course, because some players still make the difference, but not like an Apollon.
In Omonia, I think we're going to feel it if it's Jordi and Fabiano, the goalkeeper, and Jordi Gomez. I think the rest, whoever, I think we can.
Because this kind of player, they have this plus to make the difference or to make you win the game.
Yeah. Well, I think it also helps when you look at Hubochan, for example, that's won the Europa League. When you look at Lang, that's an international for Hungary. Lesiak, that's played in the Europa League and Champions League qualifiers. And Luftner as well, that's a former under-21 Czech international. These guys have played that elite level. And then you look at all the other teams in the league. Okay, they are quality players, but defensively, they don't have that experience, that winning mentality like our players do. And I'm not getting complacent, don't get me wrong. But as I said, when I look at this squad of ours, as you mentioned, Jordi has won the FA Cup. He played for Barcelona's academy. When you look at Šepović, that's done very well in all the leagues that he's played in. I can't I can't rule us out. Again, I'm not complacent, but when I look at man for man and the players that have got the winning mentality and the balls to do it, this is the team.
I agree with you, but the thing is now, these players, these great players, you have to make them play together. Mm-hmm. You have to make them understand that if you want to win the title, you have to fight for each other. You have to run for each other. You have to defend. Having a good defense or having the best defense is not having the best stoppers. You understand what I mean? Is to create one group, one block, compact, who want to run and fight for each other.
Well, of course. I mean, if you look at the Galacticos with Ronaldo, they didn't win the Champions League. He's the best striker ever, I think. So,
yeah, I believe too.
Yeah. We agree on something again.
So, still, have you got any more questions from the fans and the followers you'd like to ask Sofyan or Fofi?
Blimey.
I think it's almost 2 hours now.
Yeah, I know. We've gone on for too long. And, you know, again, thank you for your time, Sofyan. And thank you, Fofi, as well. It's been a brilliant show having you two guys on. I think it's great to have two former Omonia players. And, you know, you guys share the same love and thinking when it comes to football and Omonia. So, yeah, I don't have any further questions. I had a few from the Instagram, but we've gone on for too long.
Yeah,
but
no,
we'll do this again sometime.
Get the Instagram questions on, man, for our fans, and then we'll, you know, just 5 more minutes, maybe 2-3 minutes.
Okay. Blimey, did I send it to you? I can't ask some of these questions, Roy, because some of these questions are a bit rude. I can't ask these questions. I'm trying to make this a professional podcast and make it safe for kids to listen to, and then I'm getting these questions like, what does Gamodo Aboel mean to you? I mean, I can't. What are they doing to me?
Yeah, actually, someone asked me to, if you remember any of the chants, the songs we used to sing, like the Fira Inya used to sing, like the Nuevo Campo Titel, is like,
you know? This one, I remember I was after some games that we won, I was just going in front of the gate now or whatever, and just doing that.
Yeah.
And then they were singing, and I was just looking like that. I would say, wow.
Yeah, you were, it was with Moreira. It was you. Who did you used to go to with? You used to go to the fans. It was you and someone else. Who was it with?
It was Scaramuzzino as well.
Scara.
I used to go. He was my friend as well. Yes, Moreira as well. Moreira, yeah. He used to like this.
Yeah. That's great. Okay, guys. Still, do you want to wrap it off? You know, do you want
to? Yeah, that's it. Well, look, thank you again, Sofyan. It's been incredible talking to you, my friend. Fofi as well, thank you. Fofi, and I really hope we can do this again sometime. And we won't make it this long, but I think because this is the first time we've done it together, we've had a lot of fun doing it. And again, I appreciate your time. And we look forward to the next one. And good luck with everything, Sofyan. And good luck, Fofi.
Thank you. Thanks. You're welcome.
Thanks a lot, guys. So much.
Anything else, Roy?
You're welcome, guys.
No, I'm just want to say thank you as well. I appreciate it once again, because this is, at least for me, it's a beginning of something new. And for anyone to give us the opportunity to jump on our show, you know, it's I'm so thankful and so grateful, and I'm humbled for you being so kind to be part of this, because, you know, I just want to... Can't thank you enough.
Oh, shall we do this all the time? Well, it does it all the time. Well, look, all of the Instagram handles are at the bottom on the screen somewhere there. So you can see all of them. Okay. I think Roy's got his. And so, yeah, give us a follow on that. We also got the OLB as well, OLB Original. And this is the OLB YouTube channel. So hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, leave a comment. So until next time, Gobelia, Roy?
Yeah. And something else, I changed my Instagram account, so I'd like to inform the followers that, you know,
I've changed it.
Roy Nochoft, I can't see here. So, okay. So I just to inform. So, Pameshilakamu.